In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with sleeping in the arms of Jesus, resting in God, especially in these turbulent times that we're in. Excuse me. And we're on volume 22, June 29th, 1927. Now, this is an important passage because what God is going to do is this is what he teaches Louisa. As Our Lady taught Louisa, when we're reading the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom during this month of May, we're hearing what Our Lady is telling Louisa. She says, I'm going to teach you a way of heaven and no longer a way of earth. So the saints have taught us to live good, holy, saintly lives in the divine will by doing the will of God. And this is why there's so few saints, because to do the will of God is to live your human life in a saintly manner, a good manner, a holy manner. And again, this is something that's essential for us to understand. The divine will isn't that. It's more than that. Now look, it's volume 22. So Jesus is beginning to teach Louisa of receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. Okay, so volume 1 through volume 10. How to become a divine mirror of Jesus, basically how to become a saint. And that's why Jesus doesn't talk about living in the divine will in volume 1 through volume 10. He hints at it, but he's saying this is what you do to become a divine mirror of Jesus, to enter into the beginning of the likeness of God. That's what the saints have done. They entered into the beginning of the likeness of God. But then volume 11 through volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the second Pentecost that's coming. That'll make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to what's going to come. Think about it. The first Pentecost is the first fruits. You know, you celebrate rhubarb and asparagus and strawberries. Oh, wow, we've got food. It's the spring crop, if you want to say. That's Pentecost. The harvest is the second Pentecost. And this is why St. Honorable de Francia, you know, rogate, the prayer, you know, Lord, send harvesters for your harvest, you know, send priests so that this harvest could be full. We could get everything that's been growing all summer long, and we'll have it and celebrate this feast. The Feast of Thanksgiving, if you want to say. What this is, volume 20 through volume 36, is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. There's different stages. So when people say, well, there's a contradiction with, you know, what Jesus says in volume, you know, 7 compared to volume 17, there's no contradiction. It's like learning algebra and then learning geometry and then like learning trigonometry. He's progressing so that we can begin to understand what this life is about. And I know some people that say, all I want to read is 20 through 36. It's like you've got the propeller, but you don't have the plane. You have to learn what Jesus has taught Louisa. And that's why the calendar is so important. When you go through the calendar, Jesus explains everything from the first day, you know, February 2nd, 1899, to the last day, you know, in 1938, all those years, you're reading every day. And what Jesus is doing is he's saying, okay, I'm going to teach you a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II told us at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, a new and divine way of holiness. Okay, so this is what's happening in volume 22. Jesus says, my daughter, for the soul who lives in my divine will, okay, that's fully. You have to understand, when I say nobody's living in the divine will, it's to the fullness. Who possesses this fullness of Jesus and Mary? It's Louisa. That's why we go to Louisa. This is her gift. And when we pray in the morning, our prevenient prayer, we say, you know, Triune God, I want to be fused with you, Triune God, as Adam was in the beginning, as Jesus is, as Mary is the Son of God, the Mother of God. I want to enter into this abundant life. I want to be fused with you. I want to be one with you. I don't want you to be 1,000 miles away, you know, and we're all alone. It's to enter into this unity with God, this oneness with God. So how do we do this? We go to the three that possessed it on earth. And that's why volume 17, May 4th, 1925 is so essential to understand. The Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. So under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. Our job, Jesus tells us, if we wish, if we want, is to enter into this abundant life, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the Our Father. That's what God is waiting for. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who want to do this more than anything else. And so what the Lord is teaching us here is, for the soul who lives in my divine will, all things become my divine will. We enter into this oneness with God as Adam had. When God, the rule of God breathed into Adam, this rule of God, this breath of God, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And we say Adam, and we minimize, because of our understanding of a human, his DNA. What was Adam's DNA like? Image and likeness of God. That's why Jesus came to redeem humanity, because God is going to restore this image and likeness. This really goes back to be transmuted. Jesus says, is your inside is completely changed. That's the DNA, if you want to say. The outside is completely changed. That's the DNA. It's what God wants to do is bring us back to where we were before the fall. And so he says, my daughter, for the soul who lives in my divine will. Now we want this. We desire this more than anything. This is why we're focused on reading and studying and putting into practice the truths, the promises, the manifestations that Jesus has given to Louisa. Our eyes become more aware of every time we read. See, Jesus says, every word that I speak is a divine life. As the word of God, fiat lux, let there be light. The universe began. Billions of galaxies came into existence. That's because the word of God spoke. Let there be light. Fiat lux. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say, echoing the fiat, the incarnation took place. God became man, astonishing the angels. The angels, that's why we bow during the creed. Even the angels are in awe of what God has done. God became man. This is the God-man son, because he was the only one that could repair the loss that Adam went through. What did Adam lose? He lost the image and likeness of God by doing his human will. So Jesus is saying, the one who lives in the divine will, the one who has let go of the human will, using your free will. Okay, how do I live this life? I give up my free will. No, sorry. I'm sorry. You never give up your free will. Sorry. It's you give up my human will. You use your free will to say, I don't want to live like this anymore. What is your human will? I mean, we have to understand this. Jesus says it's the worst. It's the thing that is attacking us all the time. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. That's our human will. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. and I don't want to live like this. We do this at confession. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid any near occasion of sin because I want to live that abundant life that God breathed into Adam. I want this more than anything. So confession is part of our Catholic life. And unfortunately today, confession is one of the last things that people think about. This is the healing sacrament. When you go to confession, you're healed. Oh, well, I don't feel any physical healing. Well, it starts with spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. God is beginning to what? Restore us to the perfect healing, which is living in the divine will that Adam had. So what has he done? He's given to Louisa, Jesus and Mary have given to Louisa, the new Adam and the new Eve, gave to Louisa what she wrote on paper. She put everything down for us. I said this before, but Archbishop Cassati said to us in 1997, he says, you have promoted Louisa in a saintly way, a good way, a holy way, but you haven't promoted it in the correct way. The correct way is in a divine manner. And I remember listening going, what is a divine manner? I'm nobody. I'm nothing. How can I give something divine? You know, and what it is to begin to understand that Jesus calls the divine will the sacrament of sacraments. Those are Jesus' words. Jesus says, what the divine will is the gospel of the kingdom. What the divine will is the book of heaven is the gospel of love, the testament of love. And Jesus says in volume 24 in Matthew, he says that until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world, the return isn't going to be here. The gospel of the kingdom has to be proclaimed. That is the book of heaven. And what's so glorious about this is as we read, as we study every day, Jesus explains more to us. And it's the same words. And why? He expands our capacity to understand this language of heaven. And that's why Jesus says, for the soul who lives in my divine will, all things become my divine will. What happens at that point? You enter into the likeness of God. See, the image of God comes through holy baptism. And when we're faithful and obedient to Christ and his church, then God can give us the divine will, the fullness of it. Okay. So there are some people that say, well, I don't agree with certain things the church teaches, you know, like humani vitae. I don't believe in humani vitae. God goes, fine. You don't want life. You don't want to know what human life is. I can't tell you what divine life is about. See, Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient and he lost the divine will. He wasn't obeying what God has said to him. What we are called to do is when the church speaks, it's fiat. You know, this is, especially in this day and age, this is a tough one for a lot of people. And we have to have that humility, that docility to obey. So what does Jesus say? The divine will is the sacrament of sacraments. I remember saying this to Cardinal Burke and Louisa says this, and I read this to him. Louisa said, Jesus, you're going to finally tell me that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. Listen to those words. You're going to tell me that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. And Jesus says, it is. Well, I said that to Cardinal Burke, and Cardinal Burke goes, what? Give me that. I said, well, this is for you. I printed this up for you. It was about the sacrament of sacraments, the divine will. And what's really interesting is Jesus says, how can God be greater than God? The Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. Where we see God when we look at the Holy Eucharist. he's humbled himself again to reveal himself to us as looking like bread, tasting like bread. Coming from Bethlehem, the place of bread, if you want to say. So what does Jesus say? He says, when you receive Holy Communion, we receive Jesus in a mystical way for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And then the real presence of Jesus, he's gone. He's with us, but the real presence of Jesus, the Eucharist, is dissolved in us. He becomes our food. But Jesus says, in the divine will, we will enter into a perennial communion with God, as Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, that will never end. So it's not God is greater than God. It's the effects. The Holy Eucharist is for 15 minutes. That's why the Holy Mass ends basically with communion and the final prayer, the final blessing, because the church does not want to interfere with our communion with Jesus. And this is the time for Catholics to enter into this communion, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and worshiping God. And this is the greatest time to pray. And that's why the six steps that Our Lady just taught us in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, the first 6 days, to go over that, to let go of our human will, to enter into God's holy divine will. This is what God is expecting of us. He's teaching us. Did he just give these words to Louisa? So you go, you read it and you go, oh, that was nice. No, it's to change us. It's to go to our core and begin to live a divine life. Now, nobody's there yet, because if the first one who will possess this, if you read the three appeals, the third appeal is first to the Holy Father. And what does Louisa say? Holy Father, you must be the first to receive this gift, the fullness of it. Okay? You must be the one to receive this fullness of this gift. Why? Because you are the head of the Catholic Church. Therefore, you are the head of the divine will. You're the one who's going to give this. You have the keys to the kingdom. You're going to open the door with this gift that was given to Louisa, with Louisa, so that the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven. So there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will be Catholic. Everyone will enter into the universal life. That's what's coming. When Jesus prophesied, there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. That's what's coming. The universal life that Adam lost is the Catholic life. So what did Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, do when they came to earth? They brought the Catholic life to the world. And now Jesus is saying, get ready for the doors to open, because there's so much that I want to share with you. There's so much that I want to give to you that you have no eye has seen, no ear has heard. So Jesus says, again, this is what he's telling us. When you enter into the divine will, you want to be Catholic? You want to have this universal life? The soul who enters, who lives in my divine will, all things become my divine will. So then he explains this. What is this? What do you mean by all things? In everything the soul does, every thought, every word, every deed, the three powers that Jesus gave us, our intellect, memory, and will, the three powers, it has been, what do you want to say? Since Adam has done his human will, we've lost the glory, if you want to say, of our intellect, the glory of our memory. Most of us, our memories bring sadness to us. Oh, they did this and they said that and they treat me like this. And I mean, the trauma that most people have gone through all their life, that's their memory. And Jesus says to Louisa, your memory has to be of him and his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is, and you can have it 30, 60, or 100 fold. I mean, you can have it as little as you want or as much as you want. He says, but you're the one that has to begin this. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been baptized Catholics. And now Jesus says, now I want you to begin to live this life. Okay, so we are the children, we are the first children of Louisa, if you want to say, of the divine will. And that's, again, since Louisa was alive until now, that's the first children. Okay. We are just beginning to understand. We didn't have volume 20 through 36 until 1996, until they came out of the Vatican. And the word, where did they go? The very first place they went was Mexico City, to Acuna's prayer group. Acuna, who read volume 1 through 19, he was teaching the people as they're reading, as they're studying, this great gift of the divine will. What happens? What comes out of it is a new beginning. So when volume 20 through volume 36 came out, as that little community read this, studied this, it's the prophecy that was given to Our Lady, from Our Lady to Father Gobi. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will begin in Mexico City. Well, what's the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary? It's we return to be like her son. That's her triumph. That's the triumph that's coming. Image and likeness is coming back. So they began to read 1 through 36, the first group that did this. Okay. And so now, The Book of Heaven is all throughout the world, and there's little groups of people, not many, little groups of people. I remember looking at when we were with the new Archbishop, they put on the screen. We were watching where the prayer groups were throughout the world. There was many, many prayer groups in South Korea, and I'm going, no wonder everything is changing. See, to enter into the divine will as the first little children of the divine will under Louisa as our mama, that's what Jesus says. What did he say? Who is my mother? Who is my brothers? The ones who do the will of my Father. Okay. Now it's to live in the will of the Father. So what happens is as the souls begin to live in the divine will, we, this is what Jesus says, must become the yeast. Now, how much yeast, if you have a loaf of bread this big, how much yeast do you put in this much flour to have it, the leaven? How much yeast do you? Very little. That's us. We're to live in this gift so that someone in China begins to live in it. See, it's those of goodwill. And what happens is they begin to understand God wants more than this. And everyone will enter into this universal life again. Someone in Africa, someone in Cleveland. As you live in it, this is the divine way of doing it. It's not, you got it to your family. You got to read this. They're not going to read it. You go to your neighbors. You got to read this. They're not going to read it. They don't. Because to do it in a divine manner, as Archbishop Cassati said, was to begin to live this yeast. To be the yeast in the midst of creatures, to have the divine will in the midst of creatures, in the midst of your family, in the midst of your neighbors, in the midst of your coworkers, in the midst of your parishioners. Jesus is there. What does he say? All things become my divine will. Jesus gazed in my gazing. Jesus listened in my listening. Jesus speak in my, your senses, Jesus says in volume 36, were made for God. And as Catholics, like I said, we see God. The Protestants don't see God. They don't believe in the Eucharist. The Protestants have rejected three things. The blessed are you among women, the Blessed Mother. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus, the Eucharist. And blessed are you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. The Protestants have rejected the three blesseds. What Jesus is saying to us is enter into this universal life, this Catholic life. Begin to embrace what Jesus gave to the world. And again, it's a struggle at this point. It's a struggle, but it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be worried about or anxious about or complaining about, because Jesus says, all things become my divine will, and everything that the soul does in the divine will, this is the fullness of it. This is the promise that Jesus is giving us. Everything yet is not in the divine will for us. Why? We're worried. We're fearful. We're anxious. We're complaining. We're negative. We're sinning. That hasn't gone from us yet. Every one of us has to go to confession each week. Why? Because of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So Jesus says, in everything she does, everything she touches, everything she sees. So here, he's talking about our senses. She touches, she sees, and does my divine will. How? Jesus in us is doing that. Jesus gaze in my gazing. Jesus speak in my speaking. Jesus beat in my heart beating. Jesus breathe in my breathing. That's the will of God. That's what God had planned from the beginning. Why did he breathe this ruah of God, this breath of God, so that Adam had the image and likeness of God? So Adam's DNA was like the image and likeness of God. And now our DNA is to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. That was never part of God's plan. So what God is doing is saying, get ready. The kingdom is coming. This life that Adam lost is coming back to mankind. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The devil, the evil one, has been banished from heaven. When the kingdom of heaven comes on earth as it is in heaven, the devil will be banished from earth. Do you see what's coming? Do you see? Do you understand what Jesus has planned for us? And so what has he done? He's allowed us, he's predestined us to live at this time so that we can begin to live in the divine will, so that all things become the divine will. And everything we do, touch, see, when we touch, if we're trying to live in the divine will, if we see and does, is done in my divine will, if she thinks and lives in my divine will, she will feel the divine sanctity of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Not a saintly gift done in a holy manner, a human manner, a saintly manner. If she thinks and lives in my divine will, she will feel the divine sanctity of Jesus and Mary. That's little by little, this is happening. Step by step, it's happening. The divine sanctity of the intelligence of the divine will. We begin to see things from a divine perspective, like humani vitae. We begin to understand, what is human life? What is it about? It's to re-enter the image and likeness of God. What is human life? In the United States, we've killed, what, almost 70 million babies? What is human life? Jesus is, if we had obeyed back in 1968, we would now be living a divine life if we understood what human life is about. So Jesus says, you're the sanctity, divine sanctity of your human intelligence, okay, enters into the divine life and invests the soul and flows within our mind. What Jesus has given to us through our dogma and doctrine, Adam knew. He didn't have to be taught this. What Jesus wants us to begin to enter into is this universal life, this Catholic life. So what does John Paul II say? The main thing that John Paul II said in the 80s, 1980s, was, he says, every church should have Eucharistic adoration. Not just sometimes, but he says to begin to love our Eucharistic Lord, we have to be with our Eucharistic Lord. We have to spend time with him. And it's not the, you know, go in and read a book. Oh, my hour is up. I'm done. It's to fall in love with Jesus. How do we fall in love with Jesus? Jesus says to Louisa, he says, your sing song of I love you to Jesus is so important. Your heartbeat says, I love you with every heartbeat. Your breath says, I love you to God. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship. That's the rounds. We begin to pray the way Jesus prayed. Jesus in us is praying. Mary in us is praying. That's why he says, all things become my divine will. What she does, what she touches, what she sees becomes my divine will. If she thinks and lives in my divine will, she will feel, begin to experience the divine sanctity of the intelligence of the divine life will invest her and flow within her mind. Everything changes. We see things from a Catholic understanding. You know, see, when Jesus said to his religious leaders, he says, your father is the devil. When Jesus said that to the religious leaders, what happened? What was he saying? All Jews are bad? No. He says, those who read the Torah will know that I am the Messiah. Those that read the Torah will know what Moses said about me, will know what Abraham said about me. Those that read the Talmud, Jesus was saying, basically, they're living a different life. It's the same thing that's happening today. There's a split. There's a split. And what Jesus is saying to us is, I want you to call everybody into the kingdom. I want you to bring everyone in. Would you do this for them who can't do this at this point because their human will is too strong? Would you be willing to do this? So that, again, it's not to be worried about anything, anxious about anything. It's to say to Jesus, wow, you're going to bring about a great renewal of the face of the earth. Through whom? Through us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. That's what's happening here. All things become my divine will. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. Do you see why the reflection of the Trinity, the reflection of the reflection of the Holy Spirit on earth is Louisa and us linked to Louisa? Because we fulfill that prayer. How? By repairing and redoing. The whole gift of this great gift of the divine will to become the yeast is to pray the rounds. And that's why I said, I love this rounds. It's the rounds of the kingdom, Easter to Pentecost. And in the traditional role, it's Easter goes right up to the Feast of Christ the King. So I read this from Easter all the way to the Feast of Christ the King. And it's so amazing. It's so amazing. You enter, again, step by step, inch by inch. You enter into this greatness of what God wants us to begin to live. Our God is so great. What he is so amazing. And he leaves it up to us. How much do you want, Jesus says? 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want? I have to give to you what you long for, what you strive for. Now, for example, we're going to do that victim soul prayer on the Ascension Thursday, this vow, if you want to say, to God, because Jesus says, make your vow on Ascension Thursday so that if Jesus will take this to the kingdom, what is he taking? He's taking our human will and giving us the divine will. And Jesus says very clearly, do this on Ascension 30. So this Ascension Thursday is a very important date. And if you've just heard about it, don't worry about it. God looks at your intention. It's like waking up late. You have your alarm set. An alarm goes off and you go, I'm late. And you rush and you get to work and you're there on time. It's the same thing for this. You might not have spent the 33 days of prayer. Don't worry about it. Make it up later, but make the vow. And even if you hear about the vow a year from now, make the vow. Even if it's not on Ascension 30, there's no time or space. So you can say to Jesus, I want to do this way back. I want to do this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, so that the kingdom can be established. So that's what Jesus is doing. He says, the divine sanctity of the intelligence of the divine life invests the soul and flows within her mind. You begin to understand from a divine perspective. Why? Because Jesus is thinking in our thinking. Prayer. Jesus is praying in our praying. Why? This is the divine will. This is what you're praying when you do your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day. This is the rounds that you're learning to pray. If she speaks, she will feel the divine sanctity. Listen to this. Of the fiat, flow within her word. See, it's Jesus that's there. That fiat that, if it speaks, creates. Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? It's God in us that's doing it. Listen to what he says. She will feel this divine sanctity of the fiat flow within her word. When you say to Jesus, speak in my speaking, and you're talking to your family, it's not you're going to do this or you're, it's Jesus. And he says, you'll feel the fiat flow within your word. And in that fiat, if she speaks, it creates, what does it create? Peace, joy, and happiness in your family. See, everything's, now is the time that Jesus says, I want this kingdom to be established on earth as in heaven, but it has to begin with you. What does Our Lady say? Peace must reign in your heart first. This is what Jesus is asking. If she operates, if she walks, she will feel the divine sanctity of the divine works of the steps of the eternal fiat flow within her works and steps. God is doing this. We're saying to God, you be my Lord, my master, my king, my savior. Reign in me as you originally planned with Adam. Reign in me, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Reign in me. Listen to this, what he says. If she sleeps also, she will feel within herself the eternal rest of her God, of her creator. And all will compete to bring her my divine will. Everything that she thinks, says, and does is to bring us back to God. The sun, I love this. The sun with its light. He says the sun, when you see the sun in the sky, he says it's a reflection of my divine will, how the sun brings warmth and light to everyone and everything. And even if the clouds get in the way, the sun is still there. It can't stop the sun. The clouds would dissipate and the sun is there. With the sun with its light, the wind with its freshness, the fire with its heat, the water with its refreshment, the flower with its fragrance. This is paradise. You begin to live paradise. Walk outside. Just look at the colors. You know, just listen to the birds, you know, singing. Jesus says, will you be the voice for the birds, praising me, loving me, adoring me with the chirping of the birds? Will you be the I love you of the dogs barking, the first dog that ever barked to the last dog, all the dogs saying to God through humanity, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you. That's heaven. That's what the rounds do. The rounds bring you to heaven. This is the most glorious time to be alive. It's the most glorious time. And Jesus has predestined us to live at this time. This is just astonishing. Jesus says very, very clearly, with the sun, with its light, the wind, with its freshness, the fire, with its heat, the water, with its refreshment, the flowers, with its fragrance, the birds, with its singing, warbling, the food, with its flavors, the fruit. This is heaven. There's, see, Jesus says, I want you to begin to think from a divine perspective. People miss all this. They miss everything because our minds are clouded with the things of this earth. We're not seeing it the way Jesus saw it. We're not seeing it the way Our Lady saw it. Why were they silent for all those years? Jesus only spoke for 3 years publicly, basically. Why was he silent all those years? Because he was in heaven. Our Lady was in heaven on earth, praising God and loving God and worshiping God. The praise and the glory and the worship that our Heavenly Father deserves. Jesus and Mary were doing that. And Jesus now says, I want you to enter into this life. I want you to learn it. We're not learning from a saint. Jesus says, this is the sacrament of sacraments. What? He fed the 5,000 with bread. He fed the Holy Church with a second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. Why? To prepare us for the first bread, the bread of the divine will. What's coming? A new heavens and a new earth. What's coming is a new beginning for mankind. Jesus has redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with him. Why? To prepare us to be sanctified. This is what Jesus is getting ready. He says, in sum, one thing will not wait for another. That's the beauty of this gift. It's God has got such great plans that what he's asking us to do is to enter into this abundant life. And it's one thing will not wait for another, bringing all the acts that my most holy divine will does in each created thing. Now you can receive this 30%, 60%, or 100%. How do you want to receive this? Do you want to put your toe into the water, or do you want to dive off the diving board into the water? Swimming. That's what he says to Louisa. I want you to enter into this ocean of love, which is the divine will, to begin to live this abundant life and never to leave. He says very, very clearly, bringing all the acts that my divine will does in each created thing in such a way, this is so great, that the soul will be like a queen receiving with the all innumerable acts that the divine will does in all of creation. We enter into the image and likeness of God. That fullness is coming. Jesus tells Louisa, when that great day happens, all the earth is going to rejoice. How did this happen? How did the kingdom of God come on earth as is heaven? These are people that have no idea of what God has planned. We're getting a glimpse of it as we read, as we study, as we put into this into practice. We're getting just a glimpse. The door hasn't opened yet. The Pope hasn't opened the door of the divine will yet. It's close. It's very, very close. I was hoping it was John Paul II. I was hoping it was Benedict. I was hoping it was Francis, but it's going to be the Pope. Well, whoever that is, it's going to happen. Now, what we see when we read the Book of Heaven is the light that's coming out from under the door. We can't even see. The door isn't open yet. This fullness isn't here yet. But Jesus says, get ready. It's coming soon. Get ready. It's coming very, very soon. And he's asking us to read, to study, to put this into practice. Because he says, I have to give you what you want. Do you want this much or do you want this much? What do you want, Jesus says? I have to give this to you. So God has got great plans. Great things are happening. Great things are in store. Get ready. Rejoice. That's what he says. Enter into paradise on earth. So let's begin. Let's end with a prayer. We may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children of the holy divine will become divinely healed. And we, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you and have a great week. It's going to be good.